Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room, post-game edition, Ryan Green. Rob, once again the Python, Mish. Now, you busted out the Python boots, because it was a big game. And it was all said and done, it was ugly as hell.
Boots?
No, not the boots, the boots are beautiful.
You know, the funny thing is that I'm scared to hell of snakes. They just frighten the heck out of me.
But you got the best of them with that.
These are exotic and marble covered. They almost look like marble ice cream type of thing. It's just, they are the most awesome boots. They're so comfortable. And we could probably ramble on and on about the boots because they're so much more interesting than that ball game.
However, that game does have one endearing quality. It's going to go down in the record books. The second fewest points UNLV has ever scored in a win. Now, we went back through to find when was the fewest. Well, we thought it could be the fewest. There was one game, and I know all you kids at home remember this one.
Wait, a little more dramatic pause. Let's give these listeners just a second or two to think. Which decade do you think that occurred the least amount of points in a victory? That's a great little quiz, isn't it?
Nobody's going to get it.
They aren't, so go ahead.
January 6th, 1961.
Before I was born.
What? Really? Yeah. No, that was they scored 43 in a victory over, I don't even know if the school exists anymore, Grand Canyon College. Has it turned into something else? Is it defunct? Is it now like a tire warehouse?
We need to follow this.
We really need to find this out.
We're going to follow this
up. We've got to find someone who was at that game.
We're going to get to the bottom of that college, of that game, and we're going to delve into the stars and exactly what happened and why.
And now it was the fewest the Rebels have scored in the three-point shot clock era, the previous low being 49 in a 49-29 victory over Long Beach State. Believe it or not, in 1990-91, when UNLV won every game all the way up until the national semis.
Boy,
incredible. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Before scoring 90. That was in the first round of the Big West tournament, and then they scored 90 every game the rest of the way. So.
Well, that just adds to, it just kind of gives a little color, if that's the right word, to what we saw tonight. I mean, it's been a sluggish,
tonight was,
sloppy season, and this was a sluggish, sloppy game.
Tonight was like a breakfast of plain Cheerios and milk toast.
Milk toast, is it? That's exactly what it was.
It was gruel.
Oh, man.
What else can we, it was like when my dad, when I was 14, tried to tell me how good cream of wheat was.
Wow. It was like growing up in Milwaukee and after that first pristine snowfall, after a day of the trucks and diesels running through it and that dirty brown snow on the
sludge.
Yeah, that dirty brown sludge on the side and seeping down the drains. Maybe we're being too explicit.
It was like, you know what? No, we're not. That's exactly what it was. 46-43, yet again, we say. UNLV on senior night. You know, this game, Rob, against Air Force, who entered the game 0-14 in conference play, looking like they're on their way to 0-16. This was a game where you look at it, it had all the makings to be a memorable senior night for the five departing seniors, Wink Adams, Rene Rougeau, Joe Darger, Mo Rutledge, and the walk-on Rob Ketchum. But, I mean, yeah, a bad team coming in who you've already beaten by 21. A wild crowd with almost 15,000 people, almost all wearing white. You know, the emotions with the seniors having their families there. Mama Wink coming out before the game with Wink Adams, who drew a huge round of applause. Yeah. And it just turned into a total dud.
It was, we heard more applause for certain seniors and their families during pregame introductions. And during Greg Anthony's introduction during a timeout.
In the second half. Yeah.
Than we did almost at any other point during the game. You know, there was just so little to really explode about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think you really have to give Air Force a lot of credit. You know, you can always play the game, oh boy, UNLV had so many open shots and they missed them. Well, guess what? We saw some good darn defense by Air Force. They were trapping. They were making. They were creating problems up top. They were giving Oscar Belfield headaches. They were even pressing. They were pressing the pressers. So you know what? For an 0-14 team,
they played awfully hard
to come in and do that. I think Coach Jeff Reynolds deserves a whole lot of credit. Mm-hmm. Before the game, on the grease board inside the Air Force locker room, Reynolds wrote in blue ink, "Don't be a deer in the headlights." That was their motto for the game. Don't let the hype get to you. This is just another normal game. Try to play our game, and they sure did. Mm. You know, they really it was a stellar effort by the Falcons, and especially Andrew Hanke, who is their last remaining link to really some fantastic Air Force teams. And 3 years ago, he was on the squad that went to San Diego in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and they lost to
Illinois.
Yeah, so he's had the whole wide range of experiences in college ball, and he's the better for it.
Yeah, and boy, you talked about them. Let's get into this one now. You talked about them pressing up top, and it really threw off a lot of guys. Maybe no one more than Trevon Willis, who for the first time in his Rebel career, did not have an assist. And this is a guy who, against Air Force, you know, about 6 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, had 11 assists and no turnovers.
Wow, yeah, quite a disparity.
And they kind of cut it off at the head. Oscar Belfield, you mentioned, was affected a little bit. Not a lot of attacking at the rim. They really had a tough time getting the ball inside.
They were clogging it, really, yeah.
Yeah, UNLV, I mean, you know, there were 28 points in the paint, but, I mean, you know, this was a very slowed-down game, exactly like you said, what Air Force wanted to do. Only two fast break points in the entire game.
Wow, yeah. I mean, this is you know, it's almost a Princeton-style, Pete Carrill-type deal when you get involved in a game like Air Force. You know, all that adds to the fact that, boy, you know, in about the last 8-plus minutes of the game, we only saw two field goals by UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
Both were driving-powered layups on the left side by Wink Adams. So, you know, you saw a lot of bodies, and even with his big layup with 25 seconds to go, there was a lot of trees in there, a lot of hands, and he ekes that ball in off the glass, and it just ekes over the rim, mm-hmm. and he had the spin, and, you know, he'd been talking for a while about getting his first dunk and hoping to get his first dunk with Mama Wink, his famous mother, known as Mama Wink throughout the greater Houston area. He wanted his first dunk with her in the house. She was there looking splendid in her white getup, and he didn't come close to being able to get that dunk, but he and his teammates say they will take power drives in clutch moments like that anytime over
again. It was a hell of a layup.
Yeah.
I mean, that was some stuff that you're going to win a game of horse with.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, good spin, you know.
And, awkward, off balance. Yeah, and like we said, a memorable moment for him from an otherwise not so memorable game.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the highlight of the game for UNLV, because that doubled their lead, and it enabled it to be a two possession game for Air Force. And Air Force comes down, misfires on a couple 3-pointers, and then it's kind of in the books. But you know, the fact that this came down to the last seconds.
This is a 12-point game with 8 minutes to play.
And what was the line? Like UNLV by 18 and a half.
Yeah.
Somebody made a couple dollars out there.
Yeah. Imagine if you had Air Force on the money line.
Plus 1,800?
You're watching that final minute going nuts.
You sure are. That's a great look. We should have done a sidebar on that.
Oh, boy.
We should have found the guy in the audience who had that ticket and was just disappointed.
For like $100?
Yeah.
Some diehard Air Force fan who figured, what the hell?
Yep. But, you know, Ryan, we saw some horrible shooting, you know. That's obviously an epic statistic that you were able to dredge out about the fewest points in a victory. You know, that's incredibly, I don't even know how to explain it. That's just, that's not good in early March. That's no harbinger of success.
And their second half shooting, 8 of 28, that's their second worst all season. And the worst came in the season opener against San Diego. So, but you know what? I guess, you know, say what you will about the quality of the opponent. Do you take anything away saying where, because, you know, you mentioned that Louisville game where there were only the two field goals late. And if you remember that Louisville game, you know, they won that game by scoring six field goals in the entire second half.
That's incredible.
Does it say any, you know, what does it say for this team maybe that they are able to, you know, suffer through droughts like that and really still come out okay on the other end.
I think these are just too close for comfort, and I think Lon Kruger would be the first one to tell you that. They really needed a
punch in the mouth tonight to Air Force.
These are games that you need to win by 10, 15, 18 points. And mm-hmm. and we saw that they weren't able to do that early in the season. And that kind of, you know what, when you can do that, that bodes well for chemistry. It allows you to develop guys like Deshaun Mitchell. They get extended minutes. And UNLV wasn't able to do that early in the season. So now you have a situation where, you know, you'd like to tap Deshaun Mitchell. Granted, he's gotten a few minutes previous weeks, but he doesn't have that foundation. And
your bench is very thin.
Your bench is very thin, and you know they need people to count on. And it's I almost feel like we're a broken record if kids know what a record is these days.
An LP.
A 45 or 78, exactly, vinyl. You know
when they had vinyl, it was back in 1961.
Oh, ba-boom. That was perfect.
I think, right?
They definitely did, yeah.
Or was that smoke signals?
No, that would be vinyl. And 62, who would have been hot? Did the Beatles just come to...
They were later in the 60s, weren't they? 66, 67?
They might have just come
okay
to America then. Actually, what am I talking about? They came to America just about a week before my birthday in 1964. Anyway.
My parents weren't even in junior high.
Wow.
Amazing.
That is incredible. I'm sure Elvis was cranking them out about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
And Vegas was Vegas.
Vegas was real Vegas. It's just kind of a schizo season. You know, this really keeps that trend going of just... It's not that you don't know what to expect, but you know to expect ball that isn't quality. It mm-hmm. just isn't quality. They continue to just to kind of try to feel other teams out. But while they're doing that, they're still feeling themselves out.
Yeah.
You know, what can work, where to be, you know, positioning, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's not what early March is for.
And you've got a sense that and we've been saying this for a couple weeks now, if you haven't gotten it by now, chances are you just might not.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm not saying this but just because he declined to talk to us after the game, but zero assists from Trayvon Willis when you need him most.
And he looked uncomfortable all night.
He did, yeah.
He really never, yeah.
And, he wasn't the only one, though. There was some laziness out there.
Yeah,
lax effort, poor passes, poor going to passes, you know. There were some questionable three-pointers taken. You know, this looks like this spells NIT.
NIT? Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because we've been saying, well, three games in March. Can this team win 3 games in 3 days in March?
Not with what's coming up, because we saw San Diego State come into the MAC, and of course it went into overtime, but they won, and they look strong doing it. Billy White looked strong. Aztecs looked really good across the board. We said at that time that was probably San Diego State's best game of the season. It will probably go down as San Diego State's best game of the season. Billy White got injured at New Mexico recently and hasn't played. Something just tells me that Billy White is going to be ready to go Saturday at Cox Arena for the Rebels. You know, that's likely going to be a preview of the 4-5 matchup in the conference tournament next week. So you're looking at the prospect of UNLV needing to play San Diego State twice in a week. And with what the Aztecs did here at the MAC, I don't think that's a good thing.
No. And, you know, you've also got to think, and now we're maybe looking a little farther down the road, but you know, with all the fuss that's been made about the other schools not liking the fact that UNLV gets basically home games in the Mountain West tournament, you know, UNLV is going to be coming into this thing at the worst a 5 seed, probably the 5 seed. You know, the fans of some of these other schools are going to be out for blood. You don't think some of the BYU fans are going to come to that 4-5 game and be all in UNLV's ear? I mean, you know, it's not going to be such a friendly place to play, I don't think, for them.
You know, I don't think BYU fans are so much concerned with hating on the Rebels as much as they are just trying to, you know, promote and push and cheer on their own guys. So I'm not sure that's going to be such an issue. So, you know what though, I think this has the potential for being a pretty crazy tournament.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at Utah and New Mexico, strong as all heck. We've seen
New Mexico making a late push.
We have seen Tony Danich play some great ball over the past couple of months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's probably a surprise or two in store.
Yeah, very much so. We'll talk more about that Saturday night after UNLV San Diego State in San Diego. Rob, any final comments for tonight?
You know, it was a great crowd, almost 15,000. Mm-hmm. We were looking at some attendance figures before this game, and overall, when you take the entire season under account, UNLV has the best average home attendance than any other program in the league. So I think that says a whole lot about what Lon Kruger has done to promote this team, to get the word out, to finagle some interesting ticket packages, to involve teachers in Clark County. He and DJ Allen, his right-hand PR guy for promotions and other stuff, have really done a great job, and that's a testament to, you know, a lot of hard work. And it's just a little unfortunate that maybe there's probably a few fans who walk away from the MAC, I don't know, agitated or
a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great word, underwhelmed by the product. And, you know, I think that's really going to increase in coming seasons. If they think expectations were something this season, and I don't mean to be talking about this season in the past tense, because there's probably some craziness ahead of us the next week or two. But, you know, the next few seasons are set up for some special stuff.
Yep. And, of course, we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. For Rob Misch, Ryan Green, we will talk to you Saturday night in San Diego. Peace out.